as a teenager, and I actually like rats. My favorite one was a large Norway rat that she had that was very tame, and he would walk around the house on my shoulder. No Willard jokes, please, but, you know, on your pillow by your head in the middle of the night is no place for a rat or a guinea pig or any kind of rodent. But what had happened was that my pillow was pressed up against the headboard so tightly that when I turned my head, the pressure of the stuffing of the pillow turned on the headboard, and it was, you could feel it and hear this. And I'll tell you, once you wake up like that, you don't get back to sleep very easily. It was interesting to me, too, that Max sensed that something was up, my Labrador 2-year-old lab, and he jumped up in bed and stayed right beside me for the rest of the night. And you know what? I didn't mind that at all. And I start with this morning because I'd like to ask you, what is it that wakes you up in the middle of the night?
Although the words don't snore.
No, that. You know, a lot of people struggle with anxiety. Sometimes those panic attacks happen in the middle of the night. You know, as we step into the new year, people often talk about goals and resolutions, but isn't it true that those goals and resolutions are sort of the flip side of fear? What will happen if I don't do these things? So my rat turned out to be nothing. A lot of fears are like that, right? I mean, how many times do we imagine things that never happen at all? But sometimes they do. Something we never think of may happen. And there we go again into the same fearful cycle. But there is a way to place all of our worries in perspective and to lessen them considerably. And that brings us to the words of Jesus and a very special promise from God. I cannot think of a better verse with which to begin the new year. And here it is from Luke 12, one verse, verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, this year, I already showed you the New Testament reading plan. We're going to be reading through it together. We're also going to spend some time looking at some promises from God, promises that we can take to heart. And this is a great one, because when God has promised you something, you can take him at his word, because the character of the one who is promising is perfect. And if we can keep our eyes on him, worry and fear are placed in perspective and begin to melt away. That is what his word says. Perfect love casts out all fear. And all he is, perfect love. So, as we begin the new year, let's just unpack this promise. Again, it's a promise from Jesus, and there is incredible comfort in it. If Jesus tells you, do not be afraid. I mean, just if you get one thing out of this service today, it is, I hope that you hear his voice telling you that as you look into the year to come, the very voice of your Savior. Do not be afraid. What more do you need than that promise from him? He's conquered sin. He's conquered death. He's overcome. And to hear him say that, to say it to you personally, oh, that means something. But look also at the way he says it. Do not be afraid, little flock. Now, he's just not sort of doing a numbers thing there. Oh, you're just a little flock. That diminutive phrase is an affectionate one. There's tenderness there. And that's something that is so vital for us to take to heart when we think of God, because so often isn't that our tendency to think of God as distant, to think of God as uncaring and far removed, to wonder, how can God allow this to happen? But the God of the New Testament, who Jesus is and pointed us to, is tender. This shows us his care and attentiveness. And if we understand that more and more personally, peace comes from that. Think about it. Shepherds care for their sheep. And the Word of God says about him, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And Jesus said about himself, I am the good shepherd. And oh, it's true, we've heard these words before, but do we hear them? One of the requests for the kids, right? That they listen. Do we listen to that? To really hear? Yes, he's the good shepherd, and he's my shepherd. And Isaiah said about him, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Now, do you think that's just an anatomical reference? Not at all. Again, it implies affection and tenderness. He gently leads those that have young. And the more we know him and take this to heart by faith, the more you and I will be able to trust him when times are difficult, to trust him when we are challenged, to lean into him when other voices around us say, go another way, and we're tempted to follow. Let's keep going. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been, what? Pleased. Stop right there. Two things. First, being able to sincerely call God Father is entirely beautiful. That's, again, one of those thoughts that we take for granted. You know, the world's way of thinking is that we're all children of God. But the New Testament makes very clear, yes, we are all God's creation. But God is Father to those who receive him. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, the Bible tells us. And the amazing thing about Jesus is how clearly he shows us this. When you look in the Old Testament, God is referred to as Father directly or indirectly 15 times. 15 times. Many of those are broader, more national in reference. But you get to the New Testament, and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus refers to God as Father 165 times. It's amazing. I mean, the stark contrast between this amount of space, and I know I've said this before, but it is so vital, this amount of space, and then this amount of space, 165 times, God's referred to as Father. Through his cross, he removes our sins from us, and we can come to him and know him. And don't miss the kindness of his heart. The Father has been pleased. Because he is our Father, he loves to do us good, and he longs for us to know him and be fulfilled in him, to love, to please him in return. And what is it that makes him happy? What is it that he is pleased to do? To give you the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? I mean, is that just some sort of general biblical, theological term? Or is it something more specific? Well, I think it's that. Because if we serve a real God, he's in our lives in real ways. And the more we look for him, the more we'll see him specifically. Seek and you will find, Jesus said. Oh, we can miss it so easily by going our own way. But if we choose to go his way and to seek his kingdom, then epiphanies will occur. And we will see him in ways we never have before. We'll never know his kingdom fully. And even when we arrive in it, when all of history is consummated, we'll spend the rest of eternity discovering afresh. Heaven won't be boring at all, because you can never come to an end of God's goodness and creativity and love. But even now, peace with him, the satisfaction of walking closely with him, anticipating a future in his presence, because even now, into our hearts, he's planting this seed that says, yes, I want that. And he affirms it within us through his Spirit. Yes, he's good. And he loves me. You know, if we know that, if we receive the great gift of his presence and his power in our lives, then whatever happens in 2019 is just a footnote. Because you and I can live freely, generously, loving God and loving others and looking ahead. But there's even more to this statement. The Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You have to look at the context that it occurs in, the verses that actually come right before it. Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Seek his kingdom. Seek him most of all. Go his way. Make him the first thought, the first priority of every day, of every effort that you and I put forward into the new year to live for him. You know, if we worry about anything in 2019, it should be, falling away from Him. It should be worried about whether we really know Him at all. Because if what Jesus is saying, I mean, the truth of it, we're either with God forever or we're not. And you and I have a decision in that, to seek His kingdom or to seek other ways. You know, if there's anything that wakes us up in the middle of the night, shouldn't it be that question? Am I seeking Him? Is that the direction my life is going? Because where we want to be is a place where worry ends, where fear melts away. And He is that. And regardless of the circumstances that you and I may face in any given moment on that earth, through His strength, He can pour that into us. I love what Charles Spurgeon said about this. There is no telling how much power God can put into a man. When divine strength comes, human weakness is no more a hindrance. So as you and I look to the year ahead and think, well, I've got that challenge or that hill that I've got to go over. Oh, but if you're with Him, if you're seeking His kingdom, if He is pouring His strength into you, and isn't that simply another way of saying His Spirit, right? Scripture says, be filled with the Spirit. The meaning of those verses is keep on being filled. You know, we can look at the year one of two ways. I'm going to go sort of my way, or I'm going to go His way. But the beauty of it is that His way is the most fulfilling and most satisfying way. Because it is He who made us, and in Him, as we seek His kingdom, the unique gifts and abilities that He's given us, the things that give us pleasure even, are used in new ways. As we love Him and serve Him. And then we find ourselves happiest of all. More than anything else, it is the life that Jesus gives that you and I were made for. It's not pie in the sky by and by, or you know, freedom from trouble on this earth. That's make-believe. It's much, much deeper than that. It is the strength to be able to walk into circumstances that hell itself has unleashed, and to be calm. And even looking forward to Him, because He's with you. And because He has said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Will you seek it? Will you ask for his help to seek it, to walk with him, to walk into his pleasure in the year to come? Let's take a moment. We're going to just have a moment to quietly pray about these things as the year begins. And